Hello, and welcome to Band Together, a six-part series exploring how different music teachers foster positive classroom cultures in their band room. In this series, I interview six band teachers and discuss their general views on a positive culture and what strategies they use to implement it. In this fourth episode, I speak with Marissa Hirsch, who teaches at a small, rural Manitoba middle school. Indeed, a middle school! While I've been focusing on high school these past few episodes, culture is extremely important at the middle school level. It is in all levels, really. I really value the organization and the discipline that she brings to her job, but I especially appreciate her energy, and you'll hear it in the interview. I wish she was my middle school band teacher. In our conversation, she establishes the importance of the setup, whether it's setting up the expectations for the kids, setting up the instruction, or setting up traditions. She also has a great story about how she picked which grade 8 student got to play their brand new tuba. Here's our conversation. Marissa Hirsch is the instrumental teacher at Springfield Middle School in Oak Bank, Manitoba. Marissa, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kenley.
All right, so let's jump right in. So when we're talking about the culture, what does that mean to you with respect to the band room?
Culture to me is, well, it's everything that we are. These are our shared attitudes. These are our values. And when I say our, I mean teachers, even admin, but students. It's what we share. It's our shared goals. And we have so many traditions here at Springfield Middle School. I cannot even tell you. But even behaviors, social practices, it's what we as a group do. And it's something that's really important here at this school and really important to me.
Mm-hmm. So for your students, what does an ideal day in the band room look like?
In my band room, there's a lot of laughter. Always and forever, there is always a lot of laughter because I really believe that playful learners learn more. Okay. We do have, or at least I try to, part of our shared values and stuff is to have a team mentality. I talk a lot, we stop in the middle of a song and I'll go, life lesson 101 from Miss Hirsch. Today was, we actually had to talk about common courtesy in the grade sixes, yeah. But we talk about when they graduate grade eight, do I want them to be the best trumpet player in all of grade eight in all of Manitoba? Or do I want them to be honest? Do I want them to be kind? Do I want them to look back with pride on their middle school band? And we talk about things like that quite a bit. In an ideal day, I see 230 kids, and they all walk in here, and they are absolutely engaged with what we're doing. And I love it. Sometimes my classes get a little chatty, but and I stop them, and I go, guys, this is so hard. Like, you're talking when you're not supposed to, but it's so cool because you're talking about music, right?
Yeah.
And that to me is like, that's super engaged. So I'd say in an ideal day, our students know routine. We right from day one, we have routine. And you have to have routine. It's middle school, right? But part of that routine is being engaged and being here, being present.
So is culture, positive or negative, something you think about every day?
Absolutely. All the time. I think culture needs to be set up by, obviously, by the teacher. I really believe that. And then the kids kind of, the students back you up almost. And one of the coolest things, I'll talk later about it, I'm sure, but is when the students turn around and they, I don't know, push that culture even further, that positivity. I think about culture all the time because it needs to be set up by the teacher. Traditions, like I said, are very important. Whether they're silly, don't get me wrong. We got some serious traditions here, but we got some major silly ones I have to tell you about, like really, really. But it's also, I think, the way we frame things, the way we frame an explanation. When I do my life lessons, the way I frame things has to be done in a certain way to create that culture. Before we started recording, we talked about that first impression thing, right? And I think that the way you frame things, especially that first impression, makes a huge impact. And it sets up culture. I don't know if you want me to talk about it now or later, but I think that the first day when we talk about you know, the procedures in the band room and things like that, the way you set it up will impact the next 3 years with your students. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, positively. And that to me is creating that culture. So I think about it all the time.
Wonderful. So what are some student indicators that the culture is positive?
When things become important to the students, our traditions, they are important. When negativity or negative behavior is not addressed by me, but is addressed by the students, when they turn around, they're like, well, no, that's not cool, or whatever the situation is. When the students actually address it, when the feel of this band room, when you walk into a class, is just of joy. Mm. Everybody's happy to be here. This is the room that people want, that students want to come to. And this is where they're engaged. And I think that's the best indicator for me of positivity. And I'd like to say, you know, when it goes on to the next year, when it goes on in their lives, and I teach middle school, mm-hmm. teach grades 6 to 8. I'd love it if it went on and they learned these life lessons and some of these traditions kept going, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I think about when I was in middle school, it was the first time I learned lessons I would learn over and over again. And I think that's really important.
Right. And we have to set that up correct the first time as middle school teachers.
That's right. And that I think sometimes as teachers of any level, we think about, you know, the lessons, and then we hear stories later and like, oh, but that kid, we addressed that in grade 9. But like some of those really important lessons we learn over and over and over again.
Yep. Just in a different basket, right?
That's exactly it. Maybe context. When we're like 25 or 30 or 50, we'll finally figure it out. So what about some student indicators that the culture is negative?
For me, it's attitude. Mm-hmm. Any sort of disrespect to me is a negative, is an aspect of a negative culture. And when those kids, you know, shoulders are slumped and they're dragging their feet to class. I have a sign on my band room door. I don't know if you noticed it when you walked in. There's a sign. And it says, to enter the band room, you must, one, say good morning. Number two, bust a move. I don't know why it's good morning. Don't ask me wrong. Don't ask me why. It's always been good morning to me. It doesn't matter what time of day. It's always good morning. Mm-hmm. And I always greet them at the door. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling. I am at that door, and I smile. Mm-hmm. I look them in the eyes. Good morning. I'm like, and you know, I'll try to take those 2 seconds, if I can, to say something like, I like your hair, or that's a great smile today. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if the student walks in and they're, maybe they do have their shoulders slumped. Right. Hey, what's going on? You want to come talk to me at lunch? Mm-hmm. Let's just chat. Let's have lunch together, mm-hmm. you know? But you can feel it. You can see it. Mm-hmm. I've worked with lots of bands, right, as of you, and sometimes you can just see it, you can feel it, and for me it's attitude, and the kids just don't want to be there.
That's it. And right? That's not musical. Like all the things you talked about have everything to do with music but are not directly related to music.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think about those kids who are coming in shoulder slumped to your band room door, you might be the first person that says good morning to them all day, and it might be 11:30.
Yeah.
You know, like they might have left the house. Yeah. And parents are gone. Like we don't always know their stories.
Yeah. And that's why I'm always at that door with a big smile. And I want to show them that I'm happy to see them. Mm-hmm. And I say that to them, right? Sometimes we'll start class, put my hand up, warm up stops. Good morning, grade sixes. I'm so happy to see you today. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think it sets a tone, right?
That's right.
I think that's one of the words, a tone, atmosphere. And I think that's very important. For us teachers to set.
Right.
And that, in turn, creates, I think, where you're going with culture.
It's where I feel culture is in my room, right? Okay. Like, this has been an interesting exploration into variations on similar ideas. Because we all have different cultures, but we all talk about the same thing. But whether we're rural or city, whether we're big or small, mm-hmm. middle or high school, there are all these different variations that need to happen. Like, it's really important in my exploration of this that I'm not having the same conversation 7 times.
Right.
And
I get that.
Different tools for different jobs. But maybe, you know, we're all using the screwdriver instead of the hammer.
Gotcha.
And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot. So now we've explored some of the more general ideas about culture building, but can you describe a time where the culture was represented by your actions?
Okay, so I have one gazillion times to share with you. Like, really, really, I could go on forever. I really think about this. Mm-hmm. So first off, it starts with something like the sign on the door. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Right before they walk in every time. But the word I'm looking for, the word I usually use with this is predicate, right? I set everything up so that my students can be successful. I want to say all of the time, but there's sometimes where, you know what I mean, from a teacher's perspective, where we got to grow, we got to struggle. I get that, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I try to predicate everything. So, for example, on the first day when I'm going through my first day slideshow and I'm going through, you know, this is what I promise you in band. I promise them right from day one, I do a pinky swear with my kids and I promise them that in my class they will succeed and they will have fun. And I know it's kind of a weird promise to make, but I go on to explain how we're going to do that together and how we're going to do that as a team. We talk about how I'm always here for them, how much I care about them. And I really believe students don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's an old saying, but it's super important. And right from day one, I show them that I care about them as individuals. But yet, we talk about team a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we are individuals. Ms. Hirsch does care about you, but we are a team. And there's how we proceed as a team. So for example, something like, here we are, middle school. We need to talk about discipline. Okay, it's first day, we got to talk about it. And I tell them, I work on a three strikes you're out policy, we go over what the three strikes mean. And then I tell them, and this is that whole predicate, I've been teaching band for 18 years. Boys and girls, would you like to know how many times I've gotten to strike three? And you know the kids will hang, put their hands up, 5, 10, whatever. Once.
Wow.
Once. And I tell them the story of Michael and how Michael didn't go through the magic door. He ran through the magic door. And he didn't say good morning. And he was very upset about something that happened outside of class, and he brought it in. And we talk about how that band room door is magical. On the first day, right? Grade six, big eyes, yeah! And they get it right from day one. And that's why I've only had to get to strike three once in a middle school with 230 kids every year, because they get it from day one. And that's, again, setting up that culture, setting up the expectation, setting up the atmosphere.
I think about all the day ones that we've had of the slideshow of, you know, this is how you'll be graded, and this is the attendance policy. And then the kids get it five times a day.
Right. But that's not the approach. The approach is, for me anyways, is to set up this culture. We did Tuba Olympics one year.
Tuba Olympics.
Tuba Olympics, baby. Tuba Olympics. And we got a, it was September, got a brand new smoking tuba. Absolutely awesome. And of course, it was going to my grade eight boys. I knew that I had the coolest four grade eight tuba players, like in the whole school, you know, just lucked out in that tuba section. And I knew most of the school looked up to them. So I said, okay, we're going to do something big. So we set up like obstacle course, eating pie without the hands kind of thing, like a whole thing in the gym one day at lunch, invited the whole school to attend. Every single kid in that school was at that silly obstacle course relay race to see who would win the new tuba to play for the year.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, and like that's about so much more than the band room. Like now you're getting the whole school involved and people are cheering and like supporting one another.
Yeah. What a way to start the year, hey? See, even just thinking about it going back, I get goosebumps because it was so powerful. And things like that, if you can find ways to bring in that team cheer that, I mean, I know it's silly sometimes, but if your jazz band has a team cheer, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And if they have a secret handshake. And I know, okay, I'm sure there's high school teachers listening out there going, oh my gosh, she's so lame. I know. I teach middle school band. Come on. But it's just the way you approach things. Mm-hmm. So the way I approach playing tests, the first, everybody's ready, okay? We're having a playing test today. With 230 kids, there's no other way than going boom, 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 mm-hmm. okay? And I don't have the time to be listening to recordings and things like that. So we do live in-class playing tests. But the first day is volunteers.
Okay.
Always volunteers. And we talk about it. I explain playing tests from the very first one, the first Mary Had a Little Lamb playing test in grade 6, right? And we talk about how Miss Hirsch is going to set you up for success. And that very first playing test, when the kid raises their hand and they play Mary, and afterwards we talk about it as a class. Hey, what were really good things you heard from little Susie's playing test? And we celebrate their playing test. And I tell the students that if things aren't going well on their test, I'm going to stop them, and I'm going to say, thank you so very much for trying. Mm-hmm. That is so cool. Everybody give them a foot. We give people feet here, because mm-hmm. that's what musicians do. We don't clap. then, you know what? If it sounds like you're struggling, you need to know that Miss Hirsch has got your back. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, you can come in at lunch that day, and you can redo your test, not a problem. So I talk to the kids about testing me. Mm-hmm. Not just testing them, mm-hmm. especially on that first playing test. I try, no matter how busy I am, I do try to support our students in whatever they're doing. I have gone to hundreds of Ukrainian dance shows and skating shows and mm-hmm. football games and hockey games. And it's important to me to show them that I care about them, not just as musicians, but as human beings. Mm-hmm. And so I try to remember when little Susie, I don't know, went on a fishing derby last weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. And you got to remember to ask her that. Right. And
that's a really big deal. And,
it is.
You know, we spend so much of our life in this room, and they spend 40 minutes or 1 hour or, you know, some kids in high school will, you know, buy in and they're in morning band and lunch
right?
jazz band, you know. But in the very beginning, they're here for 40 minutes. And I think about how we're perpetually with the same age group, even though that age group grows up eventually.
Yeah.
But then they keep coming back. You know, like we lose some grade 8s and then we get some grade 6s. And yeah. the math all works out in the end. And sometimes I remember thinking to myself, like, gosh, we already went over that, but we went over that 4 years ago.
You yeah.
know? And they were yeah. different kids. Those kids are now in like fourth year university, but we're always stuck with the 15-year-olds.
Whatever, yeah, yeah,
right?
No, I understand that. And it's funny, I'm talking about all this and I'm like, you know, Hirsch, yeah, I don't really talk too much about music and band, you know? But I remember having a very passionate discussion, and this was like, oh gosh, over a decade ago with another band director. And they were saying how my students are buying into me and not into music. Mm. And I felt very, like just the way it was said, I felt very almost insulted. Like, but then I go, yeah, but they feel cared about. Mm-hmm. And I hope that by the time they graduate, I will teach them to buy into just not just me, but also the music. Mm-hmm. That's always the hope. But yeah, I can see where they're buying into me first. And if that's what gets them in this room, if that's what gets them playing, if that's what gets them feeling safe and feeling like they're part of a team and part of a greater, I think that's awesome. I'm okay with that.
Absolutely.
You know?
So speaking of students, can you describe a time where the students' actions or behaviors reflected that the culture here was healthy?
One of our coolest traditions was actually started by Cheryl Ferguson at Fort Richmond Collegiate. Yeah. Our grade sixes every year go to Fort Richmond Collegiate for our band day. We spend the morning with Cheryl, and she's our guest conductor for our full band, and her grade 12 students work with my little guys, which is really, really cool. And I got to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. About 5 years ago, we were there, and Cheryl was trying to get them to do some passage or something, and she's amazing. She turns to them and she says, if you get it right this time, I'm going to buy you a pony. And the kids, of course, went, whoa, whoa, okay, a pony? Okay, we got this. And they nailed it, right? Absolutely nailed it. And so she turned around and she gave them a My Little Pony.
Oh.
Okay. And that wasn't the end of it. So we bring the pony back and we name it. Put the year. If you see all my ponies, they have a little name and a year on the leg. And I guess here's to answer your question. It's passed down. Mm-hmm. So my sixes right now, here we are 5-6 years later. And my grade sixes right now are so excited to go on their band trip and to go meet Mrs. Ferguson, because they might have the opportunity not only to continue tradition, but just to win a pony. They want to name it. And to me, that's so healthy. When we're not even near that band trip yet, right? Mm-hmm. And they're so excited to do it. And you know what? It's, again, do ponies have anything to do with music? No. But my kids are all about that. Mm-hmm. And they will work hard for that pony. They know it's coming. My senior jazzers, every year, we have a Brandon Jazz meeting right before the Brandon Jazz trip. We do it at lunch. And basically it's to, you know, go over the nitty gritty. Mm-hmm. And my senior jazzers and I have a tradition of always punking the junior jazzers.
Oh,
it's absolutely fabulous, Kelly. You should be there. Some of these rules are absolutely phenomenal. And the rules that are slightly believable, but not really. You know, all of a sudden, you know, rule number 9 is don't forget to bring crackers for the parrot. And then you go on to, you know, so Motel 6 has given us 20 minutes of water. And so that means that each student only gets 5. Anyways, so, and again, why am I telling you this? Because this is part of tradition. Mm-hmm. And I have kids that are in elementary school, brothers or sisters of someone, and they come up to me, they're like, I can't wait to be in jazz band, or I can't wait to be to win a pony, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's healthy.
Culture as shared values and shared traditions. She describes behaviors and social practices. These are all things that contribute to a shared culture, and not just in the band room, but in the whole school. Culture is framed, predicated, as Marissa describes, and delivered with tremendous forethought. Even the beginning of the year course outlines are delivered as culture, speaking directly to her, quote, three strikes story. How she chose the new tuba player became a school-wide event, and, like most things in her room, that was not by accident. In our second half, we explore her space and some of its fun peculiarities, as well as the importance of delivering with passion, whether it's music or NCAA March Madness. Here's part 2. So on the flip side, what about the student behaviors or actions that are unhealthy?
Yeah. For me, it's any sort of disrespect.
Mm.
And so you can tell I run a pretty tight ship. I really do. And any sort of negativity, any sort of disrespect, right then and there, we got to nip it in the bud. We talk about it. We really do. And we talk about how something happened. I can't even remember. It was about a month ago. And something happened, and a grade 7er said something, and no one in that class stood up to that student.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how it actually hurt my feelings. Not as Miss Hirsch, but as a human being, what that person said hurt my feelings. But what hurt my feelings even more was that no one turned around and said something.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, it's yes, it's music class, yes, it's band, but it's life. And sometimes they are learning life lessons from us at school.
That's the goal, right? That's the dream. And yeah. You hear that all the time in school about how we need to be getting kids ready for the future and getting kids ready for work. And you know, if we're thinking like student-centered, kid-centered, with a really good culture, or at least an idea of what the culture should be, right, so we can build it, then those life lessons become byproducts of another music class.
Right.
So the next question is, can you describe a time where the culture was represented in student action? But you just gave me like 5 examples.
I think so.
Yeah, that's
great. I'm kind of going, well,
You
yeah.
sure gave me a lot there. So I think we've got lots there. Okay, so we're going to switch gears a little bit. What are some less regular or long-term activities that maintain a positive program culture?
Okay, so For starters, we actually always yearly have a concert for our grade five, our incoming. And yeah, I guess it's part of a recruitment, but I've never really felt the need to recruit. It's just this culture here in Oak Bank, in our town, is the elementary schools, they go into band when they're in middle school. I don't need to recruit that hard. Wow. It's really nice.
That's amazing.
But we do this really cool concert where the grade sixes play for the grade fives. It's not the grade eights who the grade fives don't know. It's kids that they know. So the grade sixes share that culture with the elementary school. So that's one of our kind of cool events. Our grade sixes, like I said, go to Fort Richmond, and they get to work with Cheryl and her grade 12s. Our grade sevens, we go to the Level One Festival in Brandon, and that's their very first overnight trip.
Oh, wonderful.
Yay. Oh, it's so exciting. And we start traditions there, right? So we have a cleanest room contest, which is always fun. The boys won the cleanest room contest this year at the Brandon Jazz Festival.
Wow.
And Miss Hirsch was dressed up in boas and iridescent cowboy hats. And I had to walk through the mall in Brandon with thousands of kids. It was fabulous. Anyways, so we start our traditions, those overnight kind of things. Our grade eights, we travel in May to Moose Jaw. And it's like, it's the coolest thing ever. But I set it up that way too, right? And we talk about how these 3 days in Moose Jaw are going to be the 3 days that you probably remember the most in all of middle school.
Wow.
When you are 30-something and you're driving through flat Saskatchewan, you're going to turn to your significant other and you're going to say, you know what? We should go to Moose Jaw. They had like, I know, really, who says that? No. They have the coolest, what do we do there? The tunnels.
Yeah.
We go to the tunnels there. It's so cool. And you're going to be 30 years old and you're going to turn to your significant other and you're going to say that. And you're going to stop at Moose Jaw and you're going to relive going through the tunnels and you're going to go to the big, huge, massive hot tub. And our students look forward to that. We have a top 10 funniest moments of Moose Jaw that Miss Hirsch writes on the board afterwards. Oh, and believe me, Kenley, you can't plan to be on the top 10 list. It's something that just happens when you're a Moose Jaw.
Glorious.
Right?
Yeah.
And so all of these trips kind of have their culture around it and the traditions that we set up. We also do a lot of community stuff. Middle school band directors are always working on getting our grade eights into band in high school. That's huge. That's the dropout rate for everyone across the country is junior high to high school or middle school to high school. That's the dropout rate because they have so many choices in high school and stuff.
Right.
So we try very hard here. Doug Breckman is the band director at SCI, and we try very hard to do a lot of family things. So this year, for example, we went to Brandon Jazz with the SCI Jazz Band.
Oh, wonderful.
Right? We just had the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra here at the beginning of March. And again, it was not just SMS, it was SMS and SCI.
Right.
And we both got to work with Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra and be part of that concert. So anytime we have the opportunity to be family, we try to do that as much as possible. We try to get out into Oak Bank as much as we can as well. So like around Christmas time, I'll put together a woodwind ensemble or a brass ensemble and we'll go to the old folks' homes here in Oak Bank. Also, well, Oak Bank is renowned for having chicken days.
Oh, chicken days.
Chicken days. So that's our local carnival in June, right? And they have this little parade that goes down the main street and everything. SCI is so good at this. Seriously. SCI even has a float. Their band
kids
have a float. We're not quite that into it, but we do. We go busk.
Right on.
Right? So a couple times a year, this just started recently, a couple times we're going to go, we go to the local co-op and bring a bunch of the kids and we go busk. And it's all about community, right? And that's part of our culture.
Yeah. And that music as service piece too, right?
There
is that
go.
Music is not just for performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like kids need to get that early. Well, you know, I'm kind of leading that question, but
that's okay.
I think that's really a big part of being a musician, not just doing music, like kind of a being in the world. My grandmother is almost 90 now. She's she's in a nursing home, and her favorite day is Sunday for the sing song.
Right.
And you know, and this lady comes down from Poplar Field, and she brings her songbooks, and that's what she looks forward to. And
powerful.
Like that, yeah, that lady from Poplar Field.
Wow.
You know, I also like how you said the local co-op. That was a very Manitoban thing.
I guess so, eh? Don't even think about it.
So you've really, again, to ask a leading question, you've kind of answered this one a few times already, but what role do you as teacher and conductor have in setting the room?
Yeah. I really believe it's everything. Like I said, and I probably already have gone on and on, but it stems from us, I think. Mm-hmm. We'd love it to keep growing with our students, but it's got to come from somewhere.
And leading from that question, does music itself play a role in manifesting a positive culture in the band room? You mentioned that earlier with your conversation with that other band teacher.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
The environment that band programs with good cultures have, that environment, I've never seen that in a math or science or English or gym. Like, maybe on some of the teams, but it doesn't seem to happen in those places. So you got to go, why? Is it because band directors are just bred differently or something, right? It's music. It's what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to middle school, right, you're always trying to find, well, never mind middle school, life. We're always trying to find different ways of saying the same thing, right? So I try to go with stories, storytelling a lot. And you kind of bring in those life lessons when I'm doing the storytelling. So I'll talk about something just as simple as melody and harmony, sharing the stage, right? And you kind of go, okay, wait a minute, that's not just about music. That's about, oh, okay, let's talk about this, guys. What a great opportunity to talk about it, right? And so I think that we take our lessons from the music, and there's something very powerful about, it's not just about us, it's about our team. And it's a very cool team bond that happens.
And thinking about your melody and harmony example, how there is a time for you not only to support someone as the harmony, but to stand out as the melody.
There you go.
Yeah,
right?
It's your turn. You got to take that stage, and then other people have to support you, and then you have to stand back and support someone else.
Right.
In their job, in their opportunity to take the stage, to be the spotlight. And I think about to use a stereotype, the loud trombone players and the quiet clarinet players, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a time for each to be the loud one and for each to be the quiet one.
But that's not just about trombone and clarinet.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe when you're dealing with 17-year-old high school kids about to graduate grade 12, they get that right away. Mm-hmm. But little grade sixers, it's story time. Let's talk about this a little bit, you know?
That's right.
So.
That's right.
I hope that answered that question.
Yeah, that was a great answer. Again, switching gears a bit here, going to the physical space. So what role does the room's physical setting play in enhancing the room's culture? So things like setup or layout, furniture, signage.
You walked in today right at the end of the school day, and you saw that you saw two of my three helpers. I have three helpers who come in every day after school to just clean up what hasn't been cleaned up by my last class or whatever. And I think that when you walk into a room that is orderly, you feel that. When you walk into a room that is filled with life, that is filled with happiness, you can see it in the room before their people are in the room. So you look up at I have three whiteboards, and then I've got my little memes. I actually know what that means.
You
40
are with
something
it.
And I know what that means. So I have a bunch of memes, like, I don't know, I guess about 40 maybe.
Oh my goodness.
That are up on my wall, and I change them probably like every 6 months or something like that.
Okay.
And a lot of them are silly things about band, right? Sometimes the memes up there are important. And I have memes up there that are important to me. Because for me, Joanne Koshluk and I, we started an organization called Manitoba Musicians for Mutts. And so we are very much into the rescue world. And so when it comes to animals, if one student could make a difference when it comes to the life of an animal, then it's important to me. And we live in a rural community. So I do teach a lot of people who have many animals, right? And so some of my memes are about caring for animals. Some of my memes are 10 things that money can't buy.
Yeah. I see your do what is right, not what is easy.
There you go.
I love that.
So a lot of them are quotes that are important to me that could, that, you know, meant something to me. And maybe it'll mean something to another student. And I put 40 up and it kind of, I don't think it looks cluttered because they're very contained on my boards. Mm-hmm. And if you look around, there's not much else up in my room. Just these two little busy spots and everything else is just very clean, very orderly. But you know, it might mean, one of these memes might mean something to someone, and it might make them laugh, might make them think.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are pretty important life lessons to learn.
Well, I noticed that some of them are very sentimental. I love your do what is right, not what is easy. And then beside it is Ron Burgundy lighting the flute on fire. Meanwhile, in the flute section. So, you know, like different, like we were saying earlier, different tools for different jobs, like different,
right?
Those are going to get different kids. Like the first thing I saw as, you know, to show my age and nerd level is they still think I can't see their gum. And it's
right?
Captain Picard. Just, and they, the kids might say, well, who is that? And then that would be a great band conversation.
There you go.
And, you know, 300, your Use Your Pencil Baby, your Willy Wonka. Like, yeah, and like, of course, the kids know what these are. But also that they are not all the same message. They're not all goofy. They're not all sentimental.
Right.
There's a mixture. And like, oh, gosh, and I'm looking at your puppies on the other
Ryan,
board.
On my other board.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
but even just the simple sign that says you are important.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
That's all it says.
And that's all it needs to say. So, and it's funny, although I change them every 6 months, there are ones that just seem to always go up over and over and over again because they're just that important of a message for me to get across to my students. So when it comes to setup, layout, furniture, all that kind of stuff, as you can see, it's pretty organized.
Mm-hmm.
The chaos in my office is not really chaos. It's organized chaos.
Organized chaos.
Because I think it's important that those students come in and they see that.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand that this is how we roll. And it's not just how, this is how Ms. Hirsch rolls. This is how we roll. And I like using we a lot. This is how, this is what we do at SMS.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we do things. And then, of course, a lot of them, a lot of the things that you see around here start stories about traditions and about silly things. Like, who has deodorants on their smart board?
Oh.
Well, Ms. Hirsch does. Why wouldn't I have deodorant? Right?
And I never noticed that.
Right? I know. And it's so silly. But when you're sitting in the band class, all of a sudden we're going to be in the middle of a song and a kid will raise his hand. Ms. Hirsch, why is there deodorant on your smart board? And then, well, then you got to increase the suspense. One day, little Johnny, one day I'm going to tell you the story about the deodorant. Just know that it is the best story in the world. I'll probably tell you right before your band trip. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, again, so you're just setting it up and they're like, ooh, Ms. Hirsch, I want to hear the story about the theater now, right? They're excited.
Your excitement leads me into the next question about personal wellness, which is sometimes a slippery slope in our field, right?
OMG, it is a slippery slope.
So what a leading question that was. does your personal wellness have a role in maintaining a positive bandroom culture? And then just as an add-on, can you describe a time where a personal struggle affected the tone you're trying to set in the room?
Of course it does.
Mm.
Of course it does. I think that in our society right now, mental health is important. And I like that. That's awesome. Mm. It's becoming more and more important all the time. And so I'll be honest with you, I try not to let it affect my positivity.
Mm.
And if you can imagine how passionate I am about this topic, you can imagine how passionate I am about band in front of my middle school students. Yay, band! Go band! Anyways, so when Ms. Hirsch isn't like bouncing off the walls and excited, and they know right away.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I say good morning and I smile at them when they walk in, they know me well enough now.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the time when something's bugging me or whatever, a student will ask and we'll talk about it. No, I won't tell them exactly what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
No. But we'll talk about, you know what? Ms. Hirsch is a little sad today. But I'm going to give you everything I got. It might not be a lot, but I promise you guys, I'm going to give you everything I got.
And that's it. Like, we, like students, have our hats that we have to wear, you know, and there are some kids who are very quiet at school and very animated at their job, right. for example, or they're really quiet till they get on that stage, or they're really loud and vibrant in our classroom and are the reverse when they're with their parents, you know, and they have to keep different hats on. And I think that for us, especially teaching at different levels, those hats or masks or whichever are not only critical, but I think we have to be authentic with ourselves, but also selective in how we use them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love how you said, like, you know, you can't tell them everything.
No.
Because of course we can't.
No, they're middle school students.
Yeah.
Right? And
but you can.
I'm Miss Hirsch.
Of course.
And Marissa, that's different.
Right.
Right? And it's funny because sometimes I go home and my better half looks at me and goes, really? Could I have a little bit of Miss Hirsch tonight, please? Just a little. Because by the time I get home, Marissa's exhausted.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a... I'm old school when mm-hmm. it comes to that line. It's a small community, right?
Absolutely. I grew up in Gimli. I know all
yeah,
about it.
It is. The line's there. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, mm-hmm. obviously, I share a lot with my students.
Yeah.
So, for example, right now, it's March, Kenley. So do you know what happens in March?
Spring break, Brown and Jasmine.
March Madness!
Oh, not
NCAA! Right? And who would have thought that Miss Hirsch, like, as old as the dinosaurs I always joke about, would be into, you know, university basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually talked about it in one of my grade six classes today because we talked about passion. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how Miss Hirsch watches. She doesn't watch any organized sports at all year until March. Because watching these seniors, mm-hmm. oh, Kenley, 99% of them aren't going to go on to the NBA, so they give it everything they got. Mm-hmm. And it's sudden death tournament, Kenley. So I've seen these college basketball guys, they're breaking legs on the court. They're like grown men are crying when they lose. And it's just about passion. Mm-hmm. And we talked about in one of our classes today about, guys, whatever you do in your life, I don't care if you're playing on the, you know, a NCAA tournament, or you're going to be on stage as a musician, or you're going to sell nachos at Sev, or the president of the United States. I don't care what you do. Just be there. Mm-hmm. And give it everything you got. So right now at measure 33, right? And that's how we roll. And but anyways, I do try to share things with them, but mm-hmm. there are lots of things, like I said, there's that line that...
Yeah, which is important, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, which is important. Okay, let's jump ahead.
Sure.
You've spoken a lot about this already, but just to be really, really clear, just lay it all on the table. What values do you want to impart to your students when they graduate that are specifically related to your room's culture?
Integrity.
Mm, good one.
That's it, right? Mm. You got that. You're good. Just, again, ad nauseum, I think my kids get the message in various forms, but that turning out to be an absolutely awesome musical band at the end of grade 8, that's a bonus. Them graduating grade 8 is kind, mm. honest, good people who care about each other. That's all I want. And if they graduate there like that and oh, so cool that we have an awesome band, I'm good.
Are there any books that you believe are essential reading for establishing and maintaining a positive classroom culture?
I don't think I'm going to give you the answer you want, Kenley.
That's okay. There's no.
I'm
going
to tell you this, though.
Hmm?
I read the books that my middle school kids are reading.
Wow.
I do. I am that teacher. So, yes, I've read every single Harry Potter and the, you know, all these series that are out for the teenagers right now. I do read them. I just bought two books at the book fair last week, Kenley.
The book fair.
The book fair.
Wow, right on.
And so, no, I don't think I didn't think of any mm-hmm. essential readings for establishing a positive classroom culture. But when I saw the word reading, I went, well, I do that for my kids. Mm-hmm. I just do that in a different way.
Absolutely.
And it's really cool being at that book fair, seeing my little grade 8 clarinet player who barely says a word, and she turns to me and she sees the books in my hands and she says, not that one, Ms. Hirsch. I read that one last month. It wasn't very good. Well, tell me, Jalen, why wasn't it very good? Like, I like it. So all of a sudden, something so simple as that, and me and this girl who doesn't talk very much, mm-hmm. we're having this conversation. and it's going on for more than 30 seconds. This is so cool. So I don't have a great answer for you for 14, or at least what you're looking for.
No, that's a great answer. My advisor in university used to call that with-itness.
There we go.
It's becoming more relevant as I get older because, you know, I'm not 18 anymore, nor am I 21, 25, 27, you know? And it's not that it's getting harder, but it's getting to be something that is not immediately not achievable. I'm not thinking...
You almost have to work at it now.
You got to work out a little more now.
But are you finding that as you are getting older and still teaching, are you finding that some of the things that we used to just have and almost take for granted, these students don't even know about? And I'm talking music here. Mm-hmm. And I go, what? What do you mean you never heard of this?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. I love being able to open their eyes to more than just what they have right now and go back a little bit. Yeah. Sometimes it's good to be as old as the dinosaurs, Kenley.
I'm learning. Look what I'm learning today. okay, so let's just, we'll jump to the last one. Is there anything that you would like to discuss that you believe is critical to discussing bandroom culture?
I actually didn't answer this. I didn't write any notes.
Okay.
And I kind of went, okay, I'm going to wing this one. And I think there's a few things that I said already in the interview that I'm just going to go back to. First one is predicate. You need to set it up. And if you set it up and those kids are with you and engaged, that's what it's about. And you're going to set up the culture that you want. I think that teachers who don't do that and expect it just to happen... It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get the culture that you want. I say you want, but it's really what we need, right?
Right.
What we all need, that healthy, positive music culture. And along those lines, I think that it is critical to understand that we are the nucleus of all that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll go back to right from the start, I said playful learners learn more. And... you need to be okay with that sometimes as teachers, as educators. Mm. I was thinking about it the other day. Someone says, what do you do for a living? Oh, I teach middle school band, and they give you that face, right? It's kind of half pity, half like, are you crazy, lady? And and I go, okay, let's look at it from their perspective. Every single day for 18 years, I've gone to this. I do the same thing. I teach music to middle school kids. Why do I love my job? Well, because every single day is different. Mm-hmm. Every single day, these students will say something that just blows my mind, or they will make me laugh like I've never laughed before, right?
True. These kids keep you young, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I guess it all stems from us. And if we love what we do, we share that with our kids. My passion for band, I can see it in them. Mm-hmm. I can see them get so excited about a note. Mm-hmm. And you go, yes, I get it. That's so cool. Yeah, I think those are the critical things to discussing bandroom culture, that we are the nucleus. Mm-hmm. And we need to set it up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Marissa.
My pleasure, Kenley. Anytime you want to talk about this stuff, I'm here for you.
That's been my conversation with Marissa Hirsch. How do you predicate the things that are important to you in your program? And like the meme board or the deodorant on the smart board, are there elements of your room that convey who you are with your program? And lastly, what are some traditions that really speak to the culture of your room? We got some things to think about here. Thank you so much for listening. For more information, you can head to bandtogetherpodcast.com or my own personal website, at kenleygristofferson.com. The spelling's in the show notes. I got you covered. Follow me on Twitter at kenley_k or on Facebook at facebook.com/kenley. Thanks again to Marissa Hirsch, and a preemptive thanks to Matt Abraham and Shannon Little, who are featured in our next episode, available on the website, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. The intro music is my piece, The Meeting Place, performed by the Arizona State University Wind Ensemble and conducted by Dr. Jason Kasler. The break music is Prairie Wedding, also written by me, performed by the University of Manitoba Wind Ensemble under the direction of Dr. Fraser Linklater. I'm Kenley Christofferson. Until next time.